Welcome to a special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk Action. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson.
And Dr. Dobson, let's get right to it, as I have a feeling a lot of listeners have been waiting for this program.
Well, thank you, Luann and Ryan. I need to tell our listeners that we've been receiving numerous calls and emails and letters from our friends and supporters out there, obviously in the last couple of weeks especially, who are asking us to talk about the recent national elections and to share our personal reactions to that historic and, I have to say, somewhat depressing vote from our point of view. And we're going to do that today with the help of a great friend and a respected Christian leader, Penny Nance, who is doing a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. She is the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America and appears often on Fox News and other cable news channels. Penny, you are one of the most articulate ladies who's out there working for the same cause that we care about.
Thank you so much. You're very kind.
Well, you're kind to be here because we called you yesterday. And we asked if you could be with us today. Now, you live in Virginia. And you jumped on a plane and got here this morning. And, folks, here she is.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate and welcome the opportunity to be here with you and Luann and Ryan and to speak to your listeners because they are our base. Many of my Concerned Women for America members listen regularly to your show. And
we're fighting
and
the same cause.
We're all on the same team here.
Well, your heart must be breaking after the election that occurred on November the 6th. I can tell you mine is. All of us feel that way. This is not primarily a political response. I don't care whether Republicans or Democrats predominate. I want the people who are going to lead us to follow the dictates of Scripture and of righteousness in the culture.
That's right.
And we had a pretty clear distinction there this time, and we lost just about everything.
We did. I said to someone that it was almost like watching a pileup of cars on the highway, and you know, one car crashed and another one crashed into it, and it, before you knew it, there was just all kinds of carnage, and it was horrific. And you're right, it's not about politics, it's about principle. And you know, there are consequences to elections. So for the next 4 years, or certainly the next two, now 2014 is another story, and we can discuss that. But for certainly for the next two, conservatives have got an uphill battle. And we have a president who is the most radical president in U.S. history on the issue of abortion, believes in no limits on abortion, has no interest in protecting, actively worked against us when we tried to pass legislation that would prohibit abortion based on sex selection. And he calls himself pro-woman. You know, the State Department is horrific on the issue of sex trafficking. They've done nothing. We know that we have a $16 trillion debt, and by 2036, our debt ratio to GDP will be 50%, which is dramatic and would decimate our economy. There's so many problems. Religious freedom is at risk right now. So we know what's at stake. And it was very difficult to witness what happened. Just such a deep loss. But we're determined. We're resolute. We can't stop fighting.
You know, if you really want a quick summary of what Barack Obama and his party stand for, look at the platform and what they did at the convention. What has concerned me is that conservative Christians don't seem to be aware of it. But, you know, they changed four things in their platform. One is abortion for 9 months. Do people realize an abortion at 9 months would mean? You have to dismember a baby
Well, even before that time, yes.
But for nine months, all the way through, this is a full-term, probably healthy baby. And then they announced that Israel would not be able to keep its capital in Jerusalem. And since when does one sovereign nation tell another sovereign nation where it can put its platform? I mean, the anger at Israel is so great. And then marriage, we know where they stand on same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. And then they took the name of God out of the platform. Mm-hmm. And fought over it on the floor.
In public view, in plain sight.
And booed God when they put him back in there.
Well, and not just the platform. I mean, you know, one of the things that is so difficult for me to understand is the way they embrace pro-abortion advocates. They, you know, Cecilia Richards of Planned Parenthood was trotted out. And Sandra Fluke, who people believed could afford $40,000, $50,000 a year for Georgetown Law School, but couldn't afford $9 a month at Walmart to pay for her own birth control pills. I mean, that was who they trotted out as the women who, you know, stood for freedom. And yet our side, really, frankly, Dr. Dobson, the Republicans were AWOL on the issue of abortion
they
this
really
time around.
Were.
Yeah.
It
they
makes
were,
me sick.
The word abortion, to my knowledge, was not even, you know, uttered in Tampa on the platform, except when they were having the platform committee events. It was not, you know, you never saw the pro-life advocates in any way. And it didn't have to be me. It could have been any number of wonderful, smart women. I mean, they had women, but they weren't allowed to talk about the issue of life. And so what happened was the other side got to frame the issue. They got to talk all they wanted to. Planned Parenthood spent $15 million in advertising in a national campaign to make our side look radical on the issue of abortion. Mitt Romney, in the debate, would not even correct the president when he falsely claimed that Planned Parenthood somehow did mammograms. Mm-hmm. We unilaterally disarmed on the issue of life, and we paid the price for it.
You know, I waited throughout the whole campaign for well over a year for Mitt Romney to declare himself to at least identify with the moral issues that are before us. He would not touch them.
No.
I mean, maybe he did in some obscure blog, but nowhere else that I saw. And I went and met with him along with Gary Bauer and Tony Perkins and Senator Bill Armstrong and General Boykin. And we begged him to deal with eight issues that we listed. And the first, of course, was the sanctity of human life and marriage and religious liberty and don't ask, don't tell, and the ENDA, Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and on it went from there. And we said, we're really not here to jump on you, Governor, but evangelicals are not excited about your candidacy. They're not energized. Mm-hmm. And we're just offering you some advice. You could connect with them if you'll even mention these things that matter to them. There were eight of them. And he nodded and he smiled and he was gracious like he always is. And he went out and was silent.
Well, there were so many missed opportunities. I mean, you know, we were all saying on Chick-fil-A Day in August 1st, the only thing the campaign had to do was tweet out a picture of him eating chicken. I mean, it wasn't that hard. I think I told you the story, Dr. Dobson, in Virginia. I was on a national bus tour, but I happened to be in Virginia when he refused to stand with the Boy Scouts. And I was standing out on asphalt in 100-degree weather, you know, doing rallies and meeting with CWA members. And people are coming up to me saying, why would Mitt Romney not stand with the Boy Scouts? I don't understand. He doesn't understand us. How could he not, you know, have the courage to stand with the Boy Scouts of America? I had no answer to that.
Hmm. Well, in fact, going back to 1994, he was in favor of allowing gay scoutmasters and gay scouts to be part of the
people understood that at bottom, and it wasn't just actually with only our people. the end of the day, Mitt Romney was not able to seal the deal with the American people. He was not able to portray his principles on life and marriage. He was not able to connect on the issue and seem compassionate to people from all different ilks. And so he, you know, you had a candidate that could not, he came across, I think, as a plutocrat to many people and was not able to connect with our people. And so the outcome was the outcome. You have to have the Reagan-esque figure that can unite the three-legged stool, the defense conservatives, the fiscal conservatives, and the social conservatives in order to have a winning strategy. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't able to do that. But of course, you know, we're going to be blamed.
And that's a great point, Penny, because our faith was not in a person. Our faith is never in a person as believers. And yet, the moral decay is what grieves us all so much. That's why we all have this little spirit of angst mm-hmm. the day after. It's not because our candidate lost. It's because our convictions
yeah.
lost. Our country lost.
Yeah. That is what grieves our hearts so much.
Well, I thought it is. Joel Rosenberg put out a bunch of stats. President Obama got 6.6 million fewer votes in this election than the last one. We still couldn't get it done.
That's right.
And you mentioned, Penny, earlier that the liberal side touted out Sandra Fluke mm-hmm. and all those different people. Nobody speaks for the real conservatives.
Well, that's right. In fact, they would prefer us just be very quiet and only talk about economic issues. And we can talk about economic issues
sure.
because we agree that you know, the fact that every man, woman, and child in this country owes $50,000 in debt is wrong, that it's a moral issue. Mm-hmm. But there's more to us than that. And people talked a lot about the Hispanic vote. You see, Romney won the white Catholics, regular church attenders, but he lost Catholics overall because the vast majority of non-white Catholics voted for President Obama. And we've talked about that demographic is a group that we have to reach out to. The Hispanics, by and large, are hardworking social conservatives. Mm-hmm. And the way to do that, a Concerned Women for America rally is a great place to invite your Hispanic friends. But, you know, a Club for Growth meeting may not be. They're going to be very comfortable with us because we get each other on religious freedom and on those issues.
Penny, of course, being with Concerned Women for America, can you explain why 6 million evangelicals voted for Barack Obama?
Oh, my goodness.
When you consider what he stands for?
Well, and, you know, I'm still hurting from the fact that he carried women by 11 points. So, you know, all of it's very painful. You know, the bottom line is the candidate did not connect with the people. And the other fact is that pastors are increasingly afraid to talk about the moral issues from the pulpit. And this grieves me on a personal level. I'm the daughter of a pastor. My dad was a pastor for 51 years.
And I
came about my social conservative beliefs and credentials in the right way, through a biblical worldview, because he was never afraid to share on the moral issues and what that meant to our politics. Mm-hmm. Our Christianity cannot be kept in a box. Mm-hmm. It should infiltrate every part of our lives. And yet we have so many people who are, you know, segmenting their lives. And, you know, their politics is one thing, and their pocketbooks and taxes perhaps is another thing, and their mm-hmm. church goings on Sunday morning. It can't be that. But our pastors have to stand up for truth, and they have to tell the truth.
You know, Ryan and I got an email this morning that was quite shocking to me. It came from David Lane, and it reported a meeting that occurred, I'm not sure how long ago, but it involved 75 or so prominent evangelical leaders. And when politics was mentioned, nearly to a one, they would symbolically fall on the floor mm-hmm. and repeat the disclaimer over and over again, I'm not political, I'm not political, I'm not political, as if it were a sin to be political.
Yep.
I mean, here we are
They're
in the greatest
mm-hmm.
moral conflict of our lifetime.
That's
it
right.
is in your face at every point. And Newsweek magazine had a cover story that showed Barack Obama as the first gay president. I mean, we're dealing with moral issues, yeah. and you got 70 evangelical leaders who are standing around saying, I'm not political. That makes me sick.
Well, it is so sad because there's consequences to that. And the consequences are, you know, broken lives and the consequences of, you know, unborn babies dying. And, you know, and you know, so many issues, even the sex trafficking issue, which you would think that those men would be concerned about. But I do have to say that Concern Women for America did a major voter registration drive, mm-hmm. and we had amazing results. We were able to get into churches that we had never been in before. So I do see some hope for 2014, and we hope to build on that. I mean, for instance, in Virginia, we were able to do 2 Sundays of voter registration in a very large Bible church in Northern Virginia. I won't say the name. That has 20,000 people come through it on any Sunday. And they opened their doors to us for the first time. So hopefully some are starting to wake up. But, you know, if I could also go back to your question, you asked, why did so many self-described evangelicals vote for Barack Obama? Many of them are our young people who we have left open to indoctrination from the Jim Wallaces of the world and the social gospel and the idea of social justice, mm-hmm. which is really code for socialism. I mean, social justice yeah. to me is free enterprise and the equal opportunity and life and, mm-hmm. And the ability to protect sex trafficking victims and all that. But to them, it is socialism. And when you wrap it in a pretty package, a young person with a compassionate at heart is often, you know, taken in by it. Mm-hmm. And we have made a huge mistake in not inoculating our kids against it. They're not getting it in the churches, and they're not getting it enough at home. But even if they get it at home, they're off. We're losing them on college campuses, which is why we kicked off our Young Women for America chapters a year ago. We've gone from 1 to 10 last year, and we hope to grow that exponentially the next year because we've got to protect them.
Penny, what do you say, and I'm sure you've heard it, that we lost this election because of the social issues?
I say we didn't engage on the social issues. We lost this election because of the candidate at the top, and we lost this election because people did not catch a vision of a better country than what we've got. Ronald Reagan expressed a vision for this country that threw off the shackles of big government, keeping down the common man who's trying to earn a living and grow his family and grow his nest egg and live his life. And we didn't explain how we felt on the issue of life. So that means that, you know, any politician that slips up and says something mm-hmm. that, you know, we don't necessarily like or agree with or inartfully expresses an opinion on abortion or and rape is somehow painted that, you know, as the extremists, and by the way, we're all extremists and, you know, so on and so forth. We did not engage on the issues, on social issues at all. And so for that, somehow for social conservatives to be at blame for this is just ridiculous.
You know, I wrote an article for WorldNet Daily about this in August. I was very concerned about what I saw coming from Governor Romney. And let's face it, he's a decent human being.
Sure.
And he's got a great family. And he believes, I think, lot of the things we
sure.
do. We're not Mormon, but he has many of the same values, but he wouldn't talk about them. And what amazed me, again, was his unwillingness to talk about anything but money. The economy, jobs, and so on. Those things are important,
sure.
especially when we have a down economy and we have financial problems in this country. But we're about more than that.
That's right.
And he gave one speech for a year and a half having to do with jobs and the economy and money. And that's not going to get it done
it's
because there's
enough.
More to be concerned about.
Well, and incidentally, it didn't even work for his own base. Did you know that more Mormons voted for George W. Bush than voted for Mitt Romney? Mm. I mean, he overwhelmingly won that group, but still, it wasn't inspiring. But that was just one leg of the three-leg stool. I mean, again, you've got the defense hawks. And he didn't engage on Benghazi like he could have in the debate. And when he had the opportunity, he walked away from that issue. So
how do you walk away from that issue? You don't bring up the things that matter most. Benghazi's going on right in front of our eyes. We don't talk about it.
That's going to continue, by the way. I don't believe that conversation is anywhere
over.
Yeah,
it's too late as far as the election
is concerned. It's too late for the election, but I'm almost afraid to find out all the information about that because I know that it's going to be bad. But he had the opportunity to stand with Israel and stand with our friends all over the world, and he refused to do it, even on terrorism.
In his defense, he tried to, and Candy Crowley stepped in and came to his defense of
the
Obama.
President. Yeah. I know. And you could just almost see him deflate after that. And Benghazi, I mean, can you imagine if that was on President Bush's? I mean, you're watching the world burn on September 11th, and yet they're blaming it on some little YouTube video that nobody even saw. I mean, I was watching it at home thinking, this is outrageous. This is orchestrated. Clearly it's orchestrated. It's happening all over the world simultaneously. Americans are at risk, and yet our White House, you know, literally ran from the issue.
And we appear about ready to take $500 billion out of the military budget. Can you imagine that? He didn't mention that either during the debate.
No.
Or at least he didn't emphasize it.
Iranian jets fired on a U.S. drone over international waters. What do? File a report.
And it didn't come out until after the election.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Filed a report. That I tell you what, you know they're just quaking in their boots. Ooh, we got a report filed against us. We better never do that again.
That's only second to the strongly worded letter.
Yeah. How about the lack of support for and defense of Israel? Where are all the Christians who are aware of the role that Israel plays in world history and in God's scheme of things? They were silent.
The only democracy in the Middle East, our closest ally, and yet it seems like every opportunity we give them the back of our hand. And, you know, there's consequences for that. Mm. We need them and they need us. And if we're going to stay strong as a nation, we have to stand with Israel.
Penny, I mentioned at the top of the program that you've flown out here from Virginia to be with us today, and you're going back tonight?
That's right. I need to get back to the office, so I'm spending more time in the air than I am here in Colorado, but it's
25 minutes is just too short a conversation, so we're just going to keep on going right now.
Thank you.
We will air this tomorrow.
Sounds great.
Okay. Our time is gone for today, though. Thank you for coming and being with us. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your passion for righteousness.
Yes.
It is very clear what you really care about. You've given your life to the things that we believe right out of Scripture, and I thank you for that. You and we will take a lot of heat from now to the next election. People are going to be very angry at us for what we believe and what we say. But we're going to stand firm. And I had a board meeting last week, and I said to my board, they're wonderful people, and I said, you know, I feel called to do what I've done, to defend the unborn child, to defend marriage and the religious liberty and all the other things that we're standing for. And I'm going to continue to do that. And you, board members, are likely to get hit by the ricochet, as we will also. Do you stand with me? And every one of them said, your voice is needed more now than ever before.
Amen.
Stay the course.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have said, life is not negotiable.
That's right.
We will not stand down on these issues no matter what. Any more than the abolitionists would have left their just cause because it made people uncomfortable. We must stand on principle. We must stand for truth. And, you know, if the Republican Party chooses to, we are only Republicans as far as they stand for life. The minute they leave our principles is the moment that we leave them. And, you know, and we didn't turn out like we should have, but we still turned out in very big numbers. About 30% of the electorate is evangelical Christians, and about 52% of people say that they're pro-life. So we can make a difference. We're going to stand firm, and we stand with you, Dr. Dobson.
Mm-hmm. Let's stay in touch, but don't move, because we're going to continue to talk.
And, of course, we'll invite you all back for more with Penny Nance tomorrow. In the meantime, head on over to our special website for this Family Talk Action program. That is simply www.familytalkaction.org.
There you'll be able to find a link to the audio for this program, which we'd encourage you to send to your family and friends either by email or sharing on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, this is a great time to ask you all to go to the Family Talk Action Facebook fan page. You can search for that and then just click like to help spread the word.
Also at familytalkaction.org, you'll find a link to Penny's wonderful organization, Concern Women for America.
If you would like to donate to our work here at Family Talk Action, the best way to do that is by sending a check to P.O. Box 51448, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80949. One more time, Box 51448, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80949.
Thanks for considering that gift. And while it's not tax deductible, it will help us keep you and your family informed. Mm-hmm. So don't miss us next time for more with Penny Nance.
And this program has been paid for by Family Talk Action.